This is a special edition of the podcast from AbelJosephson.com.
Remember, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Jesus told the other men that have been alive in Adam all this time, most of them Pharisees and Sadducees that were all persecuting this Jesus, this word that was finally coming up and standing up within Adam, that Jesus has been trying to disciple. Jesus said to them, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And he was saying to these other people or beliefs and doctrines, because they were all of the law of Moses, no word can come up and be spoken by this man Adam to touch his mind and heal his woman of her issue of blood, of being bent over double. They were saying, "Oh, no, you cannot." And Jesus says, "Well, watch me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And when you consider what I've showed you about the sons and the daughters and how these sons, these understandings that are born, will rule their house well, you will all take up a residence. All these understandings, these sons of God that are being born within Adam, they will all take up a residence and will have a place in the Father's house. And this is your house. This is Adam's house, who now, by what he is now speaking to and of himself, is birthing family after family of understandings and revelations. And each understanding then enters into with his wife, with the part of the mind that is growing in knowledge and wisdom and understanding with him. They take up a house together. And these are the mansions that are in the total house of God. They become a living, breathing understanding that dwells in a place or in a mansion within the catalog of all the things that Adam can and will say of himself. The house of God is the mouth. The word is the speech and speaking from Adam's mouth. That is God to all of those in his kingdom. The mansion is the place that an understanding or a revelation dwells in. It is in his place, in the house or the mouth, within the things Adam speaks. In my Father's house are many mansions. Paul goes on. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. That's in the letter. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Adam now is teaching Timothy. He's saying, "Wait, I'll get to you. You'll have a chance on the altar. I'll bring the understanding of honoring God that you are. Because I'll get to you shortly. Wait here. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Whoa. Man, this house of God is something in the eyes of Adam now. Adam placing Timothy in a prominent place within Adam, giving him a place and saying, "When I call on you, you'll come to the altar in the temple. You'll teach in the mind. You'll teach in the temple just like Jesus does." Why? You are in the word that Jesus is. Adam teaching all understanding and words to be his servant, teaching them how the servant will work, teaching them to be his servant from his mouth in his house, which is the dwelling place of what is known as God. This is where the word or Jesus dwells. And ones like Timothy, messages like Timothy is, are the arsenal of God. So Timothy will be conducting his business in the house of God. And when he's called on by Adam, then when Adam goes to him, he'll be brought forth. And what is the house of God? It's your mouth. Your lips and your tongue are the utensils in the temple, and Timothy will now be heard continually on the lips, coming from the mouth of the house of God from Adam. Adam is doing great. He's doing just great. Paul goes on, he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That means you can talk, and you're in a flesh body. You're in a world here that's temporal. It was manifested in the flesh. The voicings from life itself are coming out of these temporal bodies, these people that we've entered into. It was justified in the spirit. Now, as we understand why it's in us now, it is seen of angels. In other words, all the messengers and the voices and the ears that are within you, all they see this voice. They see this Jesus for who and what he really is, which is the manifestation of all that God is out of the center and the epicenter of life itself. Timothy will be conducting his business in the house of God. So what is the house of God? It's your mouth, your lips, and your tongues. Timothy will now be heard continually on the lips, coming from the mouth or the house of God from Adam. And these things have been manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. We understand it now. Oh, it makes total sense. They've been seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world within us, received up into glory. What's that mean? Well, that's a process. That's the process that explains it. Brought, manifested in the flesh, put in mankind, figured out, understood why it's here, seen of all messages that also have a voice. They know who it is. Preached unto the Gentiles. In other words, preaching to the Gentiles breaks the law of Moses. Thou shalt not touch the unclean thing. You can speak now, Adam, and wash the woman, the bride, within you. Wash your mind and renew your mind. Bring forth daughters. Bring forth sons. Heal yourself. Raise up the family of God. Received up into glory. That's the process from A to B that Adam is going to go through from Genesis 1 over there to the end of the book of Revelation. Was it the end of chapter 22 in Revelation? An understanding is spoken. It teaches amongst many within you. And it is preached to the Gentiles. It's part of the process. Preached to those that could receive the message and be washed, that white robes could be on, all those aspects of who and what you were that were simply lepers in your eyes before. An understanding is spoken. It teaches amongst many within you. It enters into the mind. It gives birth to more and more and deeper understanding of a particular thing. Sons and daughters are born again. Mansions are built and inhabited by the sons and daughters who become husbands and wives. And again, and your descendants, your children, your understandings and revelation of your divine nature are now as the stars of heaven. And the promise made to Abraham is being possessed now by Adam, that his descendants be as the sand of the sea, the stars of heaven. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. In other words, it's clear now, there's no controversy. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And glory is just a code word for the word, wow. 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 I mean, wow. Oh, that's what we're here for. Yeah, that revelation right there. The revelation of God. To unfold the mystery of God. The mystery of faith that comes by God, and the words out of your mouth are God. to every ear within you, and you have many ears within you. Everything that has been said from the first chapter up to this point, and I think, where are we at? Chapter 4? I don't even know. Lost track. This is nothing more than Adam contemplating how this is going to be laid down within him. He is understanding these things. He's coming to the revelation that without controversy now, great is the mystery of godliness, or being like what I say I am. He's arriving at this. He's comprehending. Oh my God, God was manifest in the flesh. Same comprehension you'll have. Oh my God, it makes sense now. Understand it. It's justified in the Spirit. He's coming to this knowledge. Oh, it's seen by all the messages that are speaking within me. Oh, it's seen of angels. Oh, I get it now. Oh, preached unto the Gentiles, washing that which was unclean. Oh my God. Received up into glory is an understatement. He's understanding and comprehending these things. He is planning on things. He is prophesying what shall and what shall not be from here forth. And also, as we see here next, he understands the ebb and the flow and the risings. And he does none of this from a book. He does none of this from a scroll. He is designing this from his heart and the unveiling of the very life that he is, which is Christ, and coming to know his own voice that speaks of himself and himself alone in his own and through his own eyes from the mouth and the tongue delivered unto him, when his lips now are circumcised. Adam now knows through knowledge what is within him and how beliefs and such ebb and flow. They rise and fall and rise again. They are kings that go to conquer and are conquering. They go through tests and testings. The Word does. The Word is under test. The Word is going to be persecuted. The Word, not you. The Word is going to be beaten about the head and shoulders to see if it can be destroyed and put in an abyss and the seal put over it. But no, it's just the opposite in the end. The word of false accusation of the life that you are. This devil, this is the one that is thrown into a pit and a lid is put on the pit, the abyss. Now let me dip into 1 Timothy 4. So here comes some more warnings for this newborn understanding, Timothy, which is about to be spoken of by Adam from his own mouth, the house of God, and the Word is God. And Timothy is told by Paul some things that are for overcoming. They're aimed at the overcoming, and he discusses the friction and the persecutions that are going to come up. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees rose up against the voice of all that Jesus was. Now we get to the overcoming. We get to overcoming the messages already as tribes and developed nations within us. Now we get to the overcoming of who and what we have been in the past. Things that we have walked by that were our identity in the past. The resistance that we will encounter anytime a new knowledge begins to lord over that resistance within us. And honoring God as a Lord, it's a knowledge, it's a revelation. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Spirit speaketh expressly. This knowledge is coming out of Christ your life and saying this to all the world within Adam, that is the voice of Christ and all that's being born of this Christ and unveiled in the eyes of Adam. The Spirit speaketh, not prophecies in a book. There's no Nostradamus involved here. It's not a book. We're finding out what the future holds for you and me. No, the Spirit knows. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Ah, if you forbid to marry a son to a daughter, then you shut down and you prevent the opening of mansions in the house of God. You prevent the being fruitful and multiplying of the word of Christ that you are, forbidding to marry. And that means, oh, I'm not going to allow this son, I'm not going to allow this understanding anymore to affect my mind and to give birth to something within me. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Oh, I'm not going to hear this teaching. Oh, I'm not going to hear that doctrine. Oh, I'm not going to hear any more of that message. To abstain from meats is to abstain from hearing the knowledge and the voice of your own true heart out of Christ you are. Forbidding to marry, stopping the family of God being born in the mind and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. These things were commanded to come forth and be, and part of you is going to rise up and fight it. And Adam knows it. He knows every time a new thing comes, wow, there was an enemy to that I didn't even know existed. And the enemy didn't appear, what? Until Christ appeared. He says, for every creature of God. Now this is part of him going, yeah, they're going to fight against you, but keep in mind, have mercy about them. Have grace for them. Have kindness. He goes, they're going to come up. They're going to rise up. They're going to persecute this knowledge and this truth, Timothy. But for every creature of God, they are good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Be thankful for the enemies. Love your enemies. Be subject to them. They're part of your feelings. They're part of your identity. They're part of your personality. Be thankful for them. Don't turn them away even though they fight against you. He says, for it is sanctified or set apart by the word of God and prayer. Remember, prayer and supplications. This driving force out of Christ through you is going to consider all of these enemies that you have been to yourself as he rises and comes to the tongue. That's why when this knowledge comes to you that you are now going to speak, it's going to come with a great grace and a mercy for all that you have been. And he's teaching this part of things to Timothy also. And this is taught to every bishop and deacon. This is taught to every revelation. The revelation of Christ, the revelation of trust, the revelation of love, the revelation of patience, and all the fruits of the Spirit. They're all each taught this same thing. You're peace and you're peaceful. But listen, there's some violence and hell waiting for you. But don't turn them away because they're violent and hellacious. Love the resistance to the message. This is the sport of it all, guys. This is the game, the engagement that we desire, and we will feed off of this and grow stronger from the resistance. Welcome the resistance. Love the resistance. There are giants in the land, and they will be food for us. I already talked about prayer and supplications being made for all men. And it is these men that we have been, these individual types of persons and personalities that we have been all through our life that are going to try to debunk and refuse this message of honoring God, that Timothy is a revelation, who is now married to a wife, who has family and is producing more in a tribe and a nation for himself, is going to come forth. And the men spoken of are the voices of those people you have been inside all of your life that now, oh my God, are required to be made subject to this word. For the word will lord over them when it says honor God. They're going to be made subject to a new voice, a new word, a new message, a new knowledge, a new Lord, a new revelation, a new house of God to dwell in. Because up until now, you see, they've been Bedouins in tents. But now they're going to be given a fixed temple, a mansion, in a house. Everything about them is going to change, even where they dwell within you. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Remind them of who and what they are, and have patience and kindness. Put the brethren, these are your brothers. Why? They were born of God too, because of you, things you said. You gave birth to these type of people you've been, and their doctrines, and their house, and their tents, and their children. But put them in remembrance when you come across the controversy of these things, the resistance, that thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, of the word of life. Let them know that this word that comes out of your heart now, that speaks of the Christ that we all are, let them be endeared to it. Let it rub up to them gently, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Oh yeah, everybody being pulled up out of Christ now is pulled up out of the Bedouin voices and messengers and angels within you, all the people that you've been. They're all being continually discipled to take up the cause of Christ. This is nothing but Adam encouraging himself that along the way, even he will have questions and disagreements, reminding himself to be patient, kind, gentle, merciful with himself in this brave new world we're exploring within. Why is Timothy getting all of this fast and furious education? Because Timothy has now become a tip of the spear in the ongoing of Adam as he heads down to the book of Revelation. And when he gets there, he's going to finally open his eyes. He's going to see himself and all that is within him. Paul goes on to Timothy and he says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness." And that speaks for itself. That's the former conversation. All these myth and mythological things. Old wives' fables. But exercise yourself. In other words, be part of an exercise, an operation that pertains to you, and disregard those things. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness, being like the Word. Man, that's all Timothy knows, is the Word is God, and I become what I say. Man, that's like a core spine running through Timothy. He says, bodily exercise profits little. He says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, and of that which is to come. In other words, you won't get anywhere with old wives' fables. But when the word is being exercised in this many-membered body, oh man, that has everything to do of that which pertains to a world that we're going to come into. This is more than a notion, a doctrine, a belief, an interesting exercise, and a fascinating consideration. And a lot of people take it that way. They go, that's interesting, Abel. Very interesting. Wow. And off they go. This is more than a notion, an interesting exercise, a fascinating consideration. No. The things that are spoken of here are what it is, or speak of what it is, to handle the highest power and the highest knowledge, which is the Word, to respect it that way, and to respect it within you, to know it within you, because of where it takes you into that which is to come. This is not a drill. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is not an exercise of something to be experimented with. This is not a plaything. That'll get you nowhere. Adam, recognizing that he possesses something within him now that he did not possess before. And you see it when he acknowledges to himself possessing through his words the promise of the life that now is. And he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. He tastes revelatory blood in the water like a shark. And he acknowledges, not only has he gotten something, does he possess something now, hey, there's more to get. There's more to possess. You see it when he adds this comment, and of that which is, you know, when he throws at the end there, and that which is to come, that which is to come. And of that which is to come. Oh man, there's reason and purpose behind getting into this. He says, this is a faithful saying. Ooh, there it is. Saying, speaking, verbalization, talking, speech. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Oh my God. You and me like this, we see things that are worthy of all acceptation, that are things that we speak. Those things pop up brand new all the time. Paul sees it. Adam sees it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is the sound of you putting a grip on the testimony that drives the boat, so to speak. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And what was he talking about? This statement here. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living Word, the living God. And this living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Savior of what men? All the men or people that you are inside and have ever been. Savior of all the types of people that you are. To the glory of the fact that you are all sorts of different type of people because of what you've said, because you've given different parts of you a voice. Many sons and daughters have come into marriage and entered into a mansion within you. Now, does Adam trust from a Bible book, a scroll, the writings of Isaiah, the Torah? Does he trust in what he finds in some crazy Urantia book, the Book of Enoch, the lost books of the Bible, the NIV, the King James, the New King James, the Living Bible, the New American Standard, or any of the some 32 different translations of the Bible? Oh, hell no, he does not. This is all coming out of a knowledge that is dwelling within him. He trusts the living Word that comes from within him. And he trusts the knowledge that is rising, that is a core power and energy behind this Word, and the Lord that it is, the Savior that it is, and all that it is. He needs it all and he trusts it all. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And look at Paul. There's no end to the knowledge coming from Paul. Have you noticed? There is no end. There is no inhibition. There is no stopping. There is continually a new thing coming from this little one, Paul. This knowledge coming from this guy. This is how it opens within you too, when you understand a new thing and enter into the world which is to come. And you enter into a new world based on what you say about you. You announce yourself into a new world. He says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Living God is words you speak, quoting scriptures, is not the Word of God. It's certainly not the living Word of God. It's quotations. It is not from the divine wellspring within you that you are. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all that we are. Trusting totally now in what he speaks to and about himself. This is the way, this is the truth, and this is the life Adam is beginning to live. He trusts the things he says to himself, from himself, using his own speaking voice, his own words from a heart filled with an ever-evolving and opening living book called his heart, a living epistle he is now reading and writing in. Adam is doing so good, right? Adam, rocking the free world. Does he take heat? Does he take heat even from voices and powers within himself? Yes, he does. And he says so, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all that we are, especially those that believe. And he knows now, Adam knows now, that everything he now speaks shapes and molds the image of what he is describing as himself. And he's looking at Christ and saying, I am this and I am that. When he describes a pure and a clean and a glorious Christ life that he himself sees that he is now. He sees it and he's speaking from it. And it will save all kinds of persons that he has ever been in the process. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Adam rises and gives the commandment of God to this power working within him. So beautiful, so powerful that it is when this is your way. He says to himself, he agrees with himself. He agrees to release this Timothy, this honoring of God knowledge, to go and to do all that he has been brought forth, to do it in himself, to do it in this Adam, to do it in you with kindness and grace and peace and mercy for all of those that you've been. This is Adam telling himself to command and to teach within himself. It's a consciousness that is being born of who and what his way will be now. He says, let no man despise your youth. Oh, yeah, it's a new understanding. That doesn't mean anything. I'm going to lock it in and rip off the knob. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now those guys right there, faith, charity, spirit, purity, conversation, they're all one and the same thing. They're contained in the sound of your voice, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. They're all connected. That is a lot of bullets in one gun. And that is the fruit of your words within you. Conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. Till I come, in other words, until I call on you, Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Oh, are we back to telling Timothy to study scriptures as a student of a book, which is the myth and the wives' tale we were told about this Timothy for so many years? No, he's not telling him to do that. No, oh, hell no. Read what is in me, Timothy. Examine, investigate, be the bishop. Inspect everything that you come across within me. And this is the bishop working within you, within the living epistle and the living book that you are. It's part of the eye that Adam is seeing through as he examines Christ that he is and the book of life that he is. Examine it all, Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. And Adam has been prophesying to this Timothy all the time now and everything that I've talked about. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now the hands are the words. Everything that I've spoken to you are the hands. And I've laid my hands, laid my words on you, Timothy, laid my words on these new revelations. And I've prophesied, Timothy, the way that you shall go as a child. I'm training your understanding up in the way it should go. Presbytery, what's that? Preachers at a church. Give an altar call, come down, put their hands on you. No, that's just all child's play in a sandbox. That's a ritual. It means nothing within you. Well, hell no. Presbytery is within Adam. This is knowledge, and you have already seen these hands laid on this understanding in everything that I've read to you from this book of Timothy, from Paul, is what has been the laying on of the words or the hands for this understanding. I mean, talk about jacking an understanding, a revelation up, cocking the gun that it is. Ooh, man, laying on the hands. Man. He laid his hands on Timothy by what he has spoken and directed this new understanding, this new son of God that was led by the words Adam spoke called Timothy. Now, presbytery, just on a side note, is a body of elders. Presbytery, a synod, a council, This is all the impartation of divine knowledge that's being given and laid upon Timothy. Presbytery is divine knowledge that is mature in Adam and has been speaking to him this whole time from Christ, who he is in a man. He says, Timothy, meditate upon these things. Now remember, he's going to call on him one day. He's going to release him. He says, when I come to you, and I'll come quickly, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And he's instructing this Timothy. He's saying, I'm going to come, and I'm going to call on you. But in the meantime, gather all this in and saturate yourself with it as an understanding. You're going to make a wife so happy as a man of God. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. What an encouragement. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear thee. So Timothy didn't think like this, didn't know this as an understanding. He's one of the unwashed masses that needs salvation in himself. He is a disciple of the knowledge for the Lord Jesus Christ. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which is given thee by the prophecy and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So it's okay if your little light shines. It's okay if your little light shines. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear you.
The podcast is now available on iTunes and on YouTube. Subscribe for free and share the podcast from abeljosephson.com.